It's so good to see all of you here today. Welcome to week number one of a brand new series that we're calling The Song of Solomon. We'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But of course, today we're celebrating our 17th anniversary of a church as a church, and then also launching our 17th location. And so to everybody that's watching at one of our campuses, and to the men and women in the Alabama Department of Corrections that we have now joined, we love you guys. And to those that are watching somewhere around the world, we are so glad you are along for the ride. Come on, Grantsville, put your hands together and say hello to your church family. Come on, say hi to them with all your heart. Awesome. And as you can hear, my voice is pretty bad. For those of you that are watching at another location, I've gotten real sick over the past few days, but there was no way I was going to miss today for a lot of reasons. So glad that we are together. Let me kind of introduce where we are as a church and even introduce you to a concept that you need to be familiar with around here should Church of the Highlands become your home. And that is, the Bible says that pastors, my role in this thing called church and spirituality, my role is to lead and to feed. In fact, one of the metaphors that is used about a pastor is that they're shepherds. And so the way I see my job is I bring you into different seasons or hillsides, so to speak, to eat on. And then we'll stay there for a while, then we'll go to a different one. And my job is to lead you through these seasons, to lead you and to feed you. And so we'll have whole seasons like we just came out of that was all about prayer. And we just focused on prayer. And we'll have seasons in the summer where we'll focus on serving, and seasons in the fall where we'll focus on reaching lost people. Well, this season, as we enter into the Valentine's Day season of life, we focus on relationships. And so everything in our events and in our messages are geared around that to help you grow in this all-important area of relationships. So last Sunday, we launched groups. And most of you are still looking for a group to be a part of. I would encourage all of you, get in a group. There are thousands of them to choose from. You can use our online search engine to find the one that's perfect for you. And then also, we'll have in a couple of weeks our annual marriage conference that we put on just for you, for marrieds and for those that are engaged to be married. And we'll have a couple of days, Friday night and most of the day Saturday, to focus on building our relationship with our spouse. And I want you to attend. And if money is ever the reason why you're not coming, that's not a good enough reason. We'll pay for it. Just let us know. And we're happy to scholarship you to that event. But don't miss it. Be sure you go online and register for the marriage conference. And then for the next few weeks, today and the next 4 weeks, so 5 weeks total, we'll have this series around a book of the Bible called The Song of Solomon. Now, before we jump into this, I'm gonna lay out a few ground rules that all of you need to know and agree to. And the first ground rule is that anytime you're in any relationship message, you have a tendency to wanna hear it for somebody else. And so if you're sitting with your spouse, you're like, write that down. You know, like, don't do that, all right? No, what you wanna do is you wanna listen for yourself. So don't think about it for anybody else. Come on, I don't need any amen, brother, from you men or elbows from you ladies. Just listen for how it can help you, not somebody else. It's very, very important. Second ground rule is that I don't want you looking back. So sometimes when we give the ideal of scripture and talk about how relationships can be, you'll tend to filter it through what has happened. Listen to me, this is an important principle, and this is not preaching, this is truth. And that is that God makes all things new. He's in the business of fresh starts from this day forward. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? So we're not looking back. I don't care if you've had 13 divorces. We're going to get this one right. Come on, somebody. So just look forward. We're not going to look back. We're not going to put it through the filter of yesterday. All of us have needed a little cleaning up. All of us have a past I don't care to talk about anymore. Yeah, that's right. That's all of us. And so what do? We just let Jesus make all things new. Third thing is, and ground rule is that I'm not going to pull any punches because the Bible is very graphic in this book. In fact, there's a whole chapter, and we'll talk about it in 2 weeks, on love making. It basically describes in graphic detail their honeymoon night. Yes, man, that's February 18th if you want to write that date down, all right? And in fact, there's a place in it where he says they made love all night long, all night. All right, so you think Lionel Richie came up with that? No, that was God, all right. And so we're gonna read it like the Bible says it. In fact, even today, there's a pretty graphic verse we're gonna read. So with that in mind, if you have kids or under age 13, you may want to find another place for them. Send them to children's church, and that's your call. It'll be appropriate. Trust me, it'll be appropriate for 13 and older. And we think, honestly, the church ought to be the place where we're talking about this. We don't need to let the world, the internet, or the locker room define it. Come on, somebody. We won't let Jesus define our relationships. And so as we study this book, you need to know that it's a song. Solomon, like his father, King David, was a songwriter. Literally, what the word Song of Solomon means literally is, of all the songs that I wrote, this is the song of songs, like the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's the best one. In fact, 1 Kings says that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs. And of all the songs that he penned, this was his favorite. This was his best. It was a song devoted to describing human love in graphic detail with this one thought in mind, that God's way not only works, it's better than the world. You'll enjoy it more than the world's way, that God's way is better. It's better. And in it, in this song, there are three characters that keep showing up. You have lover, or in some translations, it'll put he speaking, and that's Solomon himself. And then you have the beloved, who's this Shulamite maiden, that's his wife. And they describe throughout the book how they met, how they dated, their honeymoon night and wedding, how they fought, and then how they finished. And that's going to be our five messages, by the way. She was a Shulamite maiden. Y'all know what a Shulamite is, huh? It's somebody who wishes Mike Shula was still the coach at Alabama. I'm just kidding. I'm a Shulamite. No, I'm just kidding. And all the Auburn fans. But she was a Shulamite maiden. But then you have this chorus, this Daughters of Jerusalem, this chorus of friends that speaks up. One of the things that's confusing is that they shift who's talking sometimes in the same verse. And I'll do the best. I've done the hard work. I'm going to help you decipher as we go verse by verse through the book of Song of Solomon. I'll tell you who's speaking when so that we can understand it. I've got to give a shout out, though, to the master on this topic, Pastor Tommy Nelson, who a couple of decades ago really popularized this. And I've learned so much from him, and I can't go any further without giving him that shout out. Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 1, is going to be, first three verses, is the theme for the entire book, and here's the theme. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I know some of you want to say amen right there. It starts off good, doesn't it? But he says this in verse 3, for your love, or the way you love, you have figured out human love and human relationships better than anybody else. And the way you love, not only in a marriage relationship, the way you walk in the room, the way you treat the people you love, the way you treat the kids, the way you treat your employers, your love, the way you love is more delightful than anybody else. Watch this. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Now, I'm going to stop right there and say, that's our goal. I'm asking God to do this in me, that as we walk into rooms, as we walk into our homes, as we come to church, every place where we're having human dynamic relationships, that we're learning the art of loving well. Chris is here. Oh, it's just so much better when he's around because he's learned how to treat people. Your name, your reputation is that he's good in human relationship. It's like perfume poured out. No wonder, she says, all the other women want you, but they can't have you because you're all mine. That's what she's saying right here. And I want to throw that out there as the goal, that if you'll commit to today in the next 4 weeks of studying God's way of human love, that we become experts in the topic. And we learn how to treat people the right way. Come on, say a good amen right there. All right. So let's get started. Verse 4 starts today's topic. And she says, take me away with you. Oh, hurry. Let's go to your chambers. That would be the bedroom. We rejoice and we delight in you. The chorus friend speaks up. Man, we just think you guys have the best relationship. Man, we wish we had one like you. We will praise your love more than wine. Now watch this. How right are they to adore you, the friends say. And then she speaks up again and says, dark am I. I'm not much to look at, but I'm still lovely. And she starts right here with the topic of attraction. And right off the bat, she says, there are so many people who are attracted to the wrong thing, but not my man, because I'm not even much to look at. She says, I am dark, that dark like the tents of Gadara, which were completely black, like the curtains of Solomon, which were completely black. And she says, do not stare at me. In other words, don't look at the wrong thing. Now we think now today, tanned bodies, dark is good. But back then, dark was bad. Your skin was probably cracked and dry and ugly, like because she had to work out in the field. And she's saying, I'm dark, but don't look at what things that God's not looking at. You know, the man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. Are y'all listening to me? And right off the bat, she says, you've got to make sure you focus on the right things because I'm darkened by the sun. She explains why in the next verse. My mother's sons, so these were her stepbrothers, were angry with me and made me take care of the vineyards. But my own vineyard, talking about her body, I have neglected. And she says, I can't help that I am this way, but I've made some decisions beyond my body that makes me attractive. And right off the bat, she's saying, if you're going to have a godly, full of love relationship, you got to get way past the physical. It has its place, but it's not our focus. And so she says this. She says, tell me, you whom I love, where you graze your flock and where you rest your sheep at midday, why should I be like all the other women who are flaunting their bodies around prostitutes, literally? That's what was a veiled woman, who would actually go to the edge of the field where the men worked. And when they were tired and where they were wanting some love, they were ready right there on the edge of the field to seduce them into love. And she goes, I am not going to be like that. And it was attractive to Solomon. I'm looking, he was saying, for somebody different from all the other women. And they had the first attraction, write it down, and that is spiritual attraction. I want to submit to you that one of the most attractive things that you can offer any relationship that matters to you is how much you love God. That when you're in love with God, it's attractive. Man, I'm looking for somebody who has some standards. So somebody who's in love with God. And I'm telling you, it becomes attractive to that person. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? It's really true. And I want all of us to work on that. In fact, I want to give you three things you can do according to these verses that you can become spiritually attractive. And I'll show you how it works. The first is to love and worship God. That worshiping God is attractive. Now, I know some men, especially if you're not used to worship like we have here at Highlands, I get it. I grew up in a church where, you know, we just didn't have worship like this. And the first time I attended, I was pretty like, wow, what's going on here too? I get that. But you know, the Bible does describe, like in the biggest book of the Bible, so it must be pretty important to God, expressive worship. Kind of looks more like Saturday at one of our football stadiums where they have hands lifted and clapping and shouting and dancing. We don't mind it on Saturday, but we get all conservative on a Sunday. I want to submit to you that if you'll worship God that way, people aren't going to think you're crazy. They're going to respect you more. And I would challenge you, sir, get your hands out of your pockets and put those hands up. Now, you don't have to go here. I get that. You can start with carrying the baby. Carry the baby just right here. Then my fish was this big. Get them a little higher, you know. And then you can go touchdown. All right, so you can work your... That's a Tim Hawkins joke. But I understand you're growing in it. But one of the most attractive things in the world to your wife is the fact that you love God and the lady said a good. Yeah, it's attractive. I'm telling you, get your hands out of your pockets. It's going to be ooh la la. I'm serious. That there's something attractive about someone who loves the Lord. Here's a second way, and that is to pursue and pursue your God-given purpose. That I'm not just going to be here and just to take it all in. I'm not a taker. No, put me on a team somewhere. I'm going to serve. I'll paint something, sweep something, park something. You know what, honey? Oh, we're going to worship one, and then we're going to go serve in children's church and sit in a little huddle with some of those fourth grade boys and encourage them and mentor them. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, it becomes attractive. Your world around you goes, this is a man of God. And it becomes attractive whenever you serve. That's why we have our growth track. Our growth track is not for us. This thing is functioning well if you're not involved. Now, it would function better if you were involved, but we don't do it for us. We do it for you. You need something where you're involved in making a difference. And I'm going to tell you, there's an attraction involved in that, to go serve at a dream center or travel to one of our correctional facilities. And I'm going to tell you that all of a sudden community, your spouse, your family goes, man, this is someone we're going to look up to now instead of not be around. Are y'all listening to me, everybody? Same thing with you ladies. I mean, your spirituality, by the way, the Bible says needs to be without words. Don't say amen, man. It needs to be without words. Just live this godly example before the Lord and watch what happens. Singles, when you get your, when you're dating somebody, man, after you've been to Chili's or someplace to eat, bring them to church. See if they worship God. If he's got his hands in his pockets, you need to find you another brother. I'm preaching really good right now. Horse and all, I'm giving you some good stuff. And then we're gonna look for somebody who has godly standards. That just says, hey, we're dating, but let me tell you how far are we going. Now, when we get married, that's a different subject. But before we're dating, we're not gonna let this thing get out of hand. Ladies, you need to have this conversation with these guys. If y'all going out for two or three times and it's starting to develop, you need to have a, hey, this is how far we going. And if you like it, you can put a ring on it. Come on, somebody. Right? Whatever. I can't talk, but I can go, all right. That's right. And just state it. Now, I'm not gonna be like a veiled woman. You're not having this before it's time. You can have it someday when we're married, but we're not gonna get out and be a part of something that's outside of the will of God. We're not gonna do that. This is good. Spiritually attractive. It's the first and the most important because you are a spiritual being. You're not a natural being. You're a spiritual being. You're a spiritual being that's having a temporary natural earth experience. But you are a spirit man. And when you develop that, I'm going to tell you every one of your relationships are going to improve. I'm telling you, this is the word of the Lord. Second area picks up in verse 9. He says, now I like you. I like you, my darling. 9 times he uses that word darling, raya, in the Hebrew. It means you're my best friend. I mean, he enjoyed the fact that they would eventually have a physical relationship. Because, but to me, darling, it's more than that. I like you. Raya means you're my best friend. You're like my closest companion. And I'm going to tell you, this is a missing part of relationships. You're like a mare. You're like a horse. Now, guys, don't call your wife a horse, okay? It worked 3,000 years ago. It ain't gonna work today, all right? But he says, you're like a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's chariots had horses that nobody else had, these pure white horses, these thoroughbreds, these beautiful horses, these Arabian horses that were just, they were considered the prizes of all possession, priceless commodities. And that's what he's saying. You're priceless. You're the best thing a man could ever want. Your cheeks, notice the tenderness, the description. Long before he puts his hands on her, he's speaking encouragement to her. You're beautiful. Your neck with strings of jewels. We will make you earrings of gold studded with silver. While the king was at his table, that means publicly, even in public, you talk about me in front of everybody. You spread a perfume and you've honored me in public. And she was celebrating that. And then they're separated. Now she's back home and she says, my lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts. Now, I don't know what a sachet of myrrh is, but I'm sure he was glad he was one. Come on, somebody, right? I planned that line all week. That's why I'm here sick. Just I had to say that. That's funny. I don't care what y'all say. But what she's saying is, even when we're away, I'm bringing you close to I'm thinking about you. I'm laying down in my bed, and I just, oh, here he is. My lover is to me a cluster of henna blossoms, little red flowers from the vineyards of En-Gedi. What was she saying? She's saying, this is way more than physical. We have emotional, write that down, emotional attraction. She was saying that this needs to be developed too. Listen to me, married couples, this is going to help you. If you would just spend a little more time feeding the emotional needs of your spouse, I'm going to tell you, young people, you can test all of these in your dating relationships. Because if you'll just work this emotional side. Now listen to me, I get it that women are way more emotional than we are, but men have emotional needs too. They're just different. And I want to give you three things that you can do to develop this in dating or in marriage. The first is you give them emotional support by valuing them. You're like a mare. You're like a horse. You're like one of Pharaoh's horses. You're the best. There's none like you. You're a prized possession. And I know what some of you ladies are thinking. No, he's not. He's not. There's way better guys. Listen to me. If you don't like what you're seeing, look at what you're saying. If you'll just speak, I'm telling you, if you'll say it, they'll become it. That you value, you say, I just believe this about you, and you decide to raise the value. That's why we honor people, whether they deserve it or not. See, when you honor someone, you raise the value of. You don't have to do what they say, but you raise the value of it, and they will literally become that. We raise the value. We speak life to them. Watch your words. Watch your words. And by the way, I'll give you a couple of tips here. Men, what ladies like to hear is who they are. If you'll celebrate who they are, I know you're focused on a lot of things they do wrong, but if you'll focus on who they are, you're beautiful. I try to tell my wife that as often as I can. I want to just tell you something. I'm lucky to have you. There is none like, people ask me, how's Tammy doing? Here's my classic response. I say it every time. I said, she could teach the sun how to be more consistent. And she is. You don't have to second guess her any day. She's the same person, same. She just smiles. You ask my kids, she just smiles. I honor her. But I'm going to tell you, when we come together, I speak that over her life. Every time my daughter walks in the room, I say, hey, beautiful. You're so beautiful. Hey, beautiful. You're just beautiful. She has never heard any other word than that. Has she always acted beautiful? No. But if I pointed that out, I'm going to tell you she'd become it all the more. No. I'm going to speak. I'll do it to you, by the way. I know you've all messed up. I did too this week. I know we've all disappointed God. I did too this week. But you won't come in here saying, well, you're a bunch of sinners. You're just a bunch of sinners. Y'all just lucky Jesus went to the cross, because I'm telling you, you'd have to burn in the lake of fire. No. I don't tell you who you are. I tell you who you could become. And I'm speaking life over it. And all of a sudden, people just step up out of that muck and they become who they have people who see that thing inside of them. Are y'all listening to me? We speak life over them. By the way, ladies, here's your tip. You don't really focus on a man on who he is. You focus on what he does. Men like to be admired for their accomplishments. Women like to be admired for who they are. Talk about them. Talk about my accomplishments. When I come in from mowing the grass, I need somebody to notice. I've brought Tammy to the front door and said, look at them lines. They're perfectly straight. Come on. Get you some of that. Right? And if you'll just talk about that, let me give you a little warning. If you don't, somebody else will. You know, adultery doesn't happen. Adultery doesn't happen because of a desire for sexual relationships. Lust is not the cause of adultery. The cause of adultery happens because sometimes there's a vacuum in the home of admiration and affection and emotional connection. And everybody needs it. And the devil will make sure that somebody comes along, ma'am, to your husband and say, wow, you're incredible. How do you do that? Boy, what great job on that project. I so respect you. And all of a sudden, he entertains that thought, like, wow, I kind of like hearing that. And then it leads to more, but it doesn't start with more. Husbands, the devil will make sure somebody comes along and just says, well, tell me more. Well, that's interesting. Well, tell, it's the most sexy words a woman can hear. And then what happened? I warn our pastors when they're in counseling sessions with women. I say, you may be the first man in years who has sat there and listened to them for an hour. And you can be ugly as a mud fence and they'll fall in love with you. Because you filled a vacuum. Are y'all listening to me? I'm trying to help you. It's really important. And not only that, not only speaking life, but we're going to think good thoughts. At home, she was thinking about him. She took captive her thoughts, and she didn't say, well, my goodness, Solomon is late from work. I bet he's running around on me. No. She had a sachet of myrrh between her breasts thinking, "Ooh, he's awesome. He's just awesome." And you've got to control your thoughts because the devil will create a narrative about your spouse that is not true. And I'm going to control my thoughts. When I travel, I bring pictures of Tammy and my kids. And the first thing I do when I walk in a hotel room is I set them bad boys up. Because the devil will make sure there's something else that becomes attractive when I'm on the road. And I want to walk into that room thinking about, she's like a sachet of myrrh between my breasts. Are y'all listening to me? I'm thinking about Tammy. I'm going to think about Tammy. These are good things for us. Emotional attraction. Then here's the third one. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Now the physical's starting to happen here, and he's starting to admire her body, but he doesn't start with the other parts. He starts with her eyes. The rabbis taught that the eyes revealed the soul, the true heart of a person. You always look in their eyes first. He says, your eyes are like doves. And then she chimes in and says, how handsome. You are one good-looking dude. How charming you are. Watch this. And our bed, now they're wanting physical relationship. Our bed is verdant. In other words, it's pretty lush right now. It's lush and green. That's what that word means. And the beams of our house are cedars and our rafters are firs. And what they were saying here in this allegory, this metaphor, is that the physical is good. God created it. The physical is good. God created it. Don't ever feel bad for having a sexual attraction. God put that in there. It's the devil that wants to pervert it. And they said the secret is that we have to build it on the right things, something solid, on cedars and firs. We're going to have this, but we're going to do it right. And this is the third attraction, and that is physical attraction. Physical attraction. Now, I'm not going to dive deep into this one today because in 2 weeks, it's going to be the entire message. But they did it right. Watch this. They did it so right that she says in the next chapter, remember, she starts off saying, I'm ugly. I'm dark. But because of the way he loved her, I'm a rose. I'm a rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. And then he comes in. Oh, you have no idea. Like a lily among thorns are you, my darling, among the maidens. And then because they kept it all in order, it starts to get out of order. Watch this, because the next verse says, strengthen me with raisins. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you, but that's one funny line right there. Because they thought raisins were an aphrodisiac. She basically said, go get the chocolate and the oysters. I want you right now. That's what she was saying in that line, all right? That's what she's literally hot. They were engulfed in emotion and passion at this point. Refresh me with apples. Come on, let's go. For I am faint with love. And then he goes there. He puts his arm around her neck and the other one around her waist. As we said in the 1980s, they in make-out position. This is where it's where it is, right here. That's that line right there. And then watch the next verse, though. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, you don't let this happen. It has its place, but it's not here. Do not arouse or awaken love before its time. That's what until it so desires is their way of saying it has its place and it's good, but not now. Not now. And I'm going to tell you something. God created sex. The devil did not. God didn't look at Adam and Eve and see him over in the bushes and go, oh my God. Oh, God. No, he didn't do that, all right? No. He created that. He created the beauty, the passion, every part of it. But if you get it out of place, it'll be one of the most destructive parts of your life. We'll cover that in a couple of weeks. And while we learn how to have great sex at the same time, it's a part of who God is. But they kept it in its place. Now, I want to close with this thought. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking things like, but you don't know my husband, and you don't know my wife, and you certainly, Pastor, you or the Bible, you don't know my past. You're painting an ideal that's not even possible, and it just doesn't really work that way. And I want to challenge that thought by this thought. And that is remove it from you and your spouse or whoever. And if you look at love between you and God, that's where it was there too. So when I came to God, I was unfaithful, immoral, a mess. There was nothing about me that was attractive. And God had every right to say, I don't think I want that. This is not what I'm looking for in a relationship. And he would have been right. But instead, he decided to love the unlovely. But not just blindly, well, you're unlovely, I'm just going to love you. He knew that if he loved this imperfect person, that I would change. And here I am today. I got saved at 15. I'm 54. I mean, it's almost been 40 years that I've known the Lord. And there's a long way to go, but he's changed me. And now even people that I think sometimes are unlovely, I mean, you're hard to like. Because God has loved me, I have capacity to love the most unlovely people. Not because I'm a great guy, because of the work of God in me. So if all this sounds impossible, it is without God. And I'm inviting you to finish this series with me. And I'm inviting you to let God work in your life and watch. And this will happen. Write this down and we pray. That you will come to love. Not by finding the perfect person, but by seeing the imperfect perfectly. And that's the miracle of what God can do. This is the miracle of what he did in me. He found an imperfect person, decided to see me as I could be, not as I was. And then the imperfect became perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow for prayer. Don't click right now, just very still. And I'm going to ask you to stay to the very end. In fact, we're going to end probably a little early today. But this is such a tender message. And I feel led of God to pray for you and ask God to do a great work inside of you. So receive it if you want it. If you are, just open your hands if you're receiving this today. God, I'm praying for marrieds and for singles. And God, we've tried so many things of the world's way to be attractive. But God, today we're going to focus on your way by developing our spiritual attraction. God, we're going to do better with our words and our emotions and the way we value people. And God, knowing that you make the physical beautiful when it's done your way. Lord, I pray for an awakening to happen in marriages, a fresh passion over these next few weeks as we study, as we attend conferences and get in groups, or change us. God, we know you take imperfect things and you make them perfect through the power of your Son, Jesus. And we receive that today. Lord, I pray for fresh starts. For every person who gets discouraged about what has happened, God, the past is the past, and you make all things new. Bless them, I pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and there's something in your heart that's drawn to God, like you want to give your life to God, you feel drawn to God, and maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not, you just know that that relationship is not where it's supposed to be. And you want to take a step toward God today. You're ready to give your life to him. I'm not going to make you stand up or come to the front. I'm going to invite the campus pastors to come join me on the stage. Pastor Steve, come join me here. And I'm going to ask the campus pastor at your location to pray over you. But listen to me. Your faith doesn't need to stay just between you and God. You need to let God know, I'm ready to know you. I'm ready to come into a relationship with you. And we're not going to make you stand up, but if you're ready to be a part of this prayer where you're going to get some things right with God and you're going to give God the chance to do his deep work inside of you, listen to me. He loves you. He sees all your imperfections, and he's chosen to love you anyway. And he'll make the imperfect perfect if you allow him to work in your life. And he'll give you capacity to love people more than you ever thought you could. Come on, do you want that today? You can get it with one heartfelt prayer. You ready? You want to be a part of this prayer? Without hesitation, if that's you, you want to be included, I want you to lift your hand high right now and say, count me in that prayer. Come on, lift it high. All over this room. Come on, Pastor Steve. Lead these precious people in prayer.
It's so good, everybody. Anybody else, just lift it up, put it right back down. Yeah. Here's the thing. What I'm going to do, the Bible says that when we come to know the Lord, it comes through confession of our mouth and then belief in our heart. And even if you didn't raise your hand, all you have to do is just pray this simple prayer after me. Just follow me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Father, thank you for loving me and sending Jesus to the cross. Today, I confess my need for a Savior. Come into my heart. Change me. Make me new. Fill me with your love. I'll never be the same. Thank you for taking my life and giving me yours. In Jesus' name, I pray. And Father, I just pray for each and every one of those here, just dozens and dozens of hands that lifted and prayed that prayer. And God, I thank you that today is the first day of the rest of their life, that they have had life change, and God, they'll never, ever be the same. And God, we as church family bless them. We encourage them, and we thank you that what you began in them, you will bring to completion. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's honor those that prayed that prayer. Come on, show them some love here this morning.